If you watch TV, you see a lot of ads for Ancestry.com. It's a site where you can look up your ancestors, you can look up your relatives. It's a wonderful tool, and it seems that so many people want to trace their roots. They want to know where they came from. Now, unless you're a Native American, you didn't come from here. We came someplace else. Now, there was a reunion recently in my family that I was not able to go to, but some of my siblings did, and of course they get together and they talk about ancestry. Now, on Ancestry.com, there was a lady who was bragging that she was descended from George Washington. Well, I found out, and I hope it's true, that I wasn't descended from George Washington, but that there was someone in my family that was quite colorful. My grandfather was very, very poor, and yet all the pictures we have of him, he's dressed in beautifully tailored suits. And my brother said he found out recently that though Grandpa could not afford those suits, that they were hand-me-downs from a cousin who was just his size. And the cousin was a lieutenant in the Lucky Luciano crime family. I'm hoping it's true, because it would explain a lot. We all need to have our roots and where we come from. We need to know that. And when the prophet was speaking today, he was calling for his people to return to their roots. It was after the Babylonian exile, and these folks had been away from home for many years. In fact, the only people who would have remembered home would have been very, very old, because they had been in exile for about 70 years. So most of the people had never known home. And the prophet was calling them to come home because things had changed, the political climate had changed, and they would have the opportunity to journey home. But it was more than just journeying to a place. He was calling on them to return home to God. Now, there were folks there that were not quite convinced that God was for them. They weren't quite convinced that God had their backs. And so he assures them, he said to them, "As sure as rain comes on the earth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It has a purpose and it will do what it's supposed to do." And so God's promises are not made in vain. God's promises are here every single day. And sometimes it takes a little time. We don't think that God has our timetable, and sometimes we want to prod God to move faster than God moves. But God says, "My promises are sure, and my word is sure." It's a promise for the people of God today. Wherever we land, we are home. We are called home to God. Paul puts it another way. He says that if we are led by the Spirit of God, then we're God's children, then we're at home with God. Well, what does that mean, to be led by the Spirit of God? I don't think it's rocket science. Paul says if we're in the flesh, we do what's in the flesh. That means when we do things out of selfish intention, that's the result. But when we are led by the Spirit of God, every time we do something that blesses somebody else's life, we're led by the Spirit of God. Every time we lift somebody up who's depressed, we are being led by the Spirit of God. Every time we take care of the poor, we are led by the Spirit of God. Every time our actions bless another human being, we are led by the Spirit of God. Every time we walk in honesty, we are led by the Spirit of God. All that is good that's resulting in our lives, that's because of the Spirit of God. And anything that's destructive is the spirit of the flesh. It's not rocket science. And God calls us to come home to Him. Come home to that life that is life. When I was a teenager, I had a dream. Now, do you all dream? We all dream, don't we? Do you remember your dreams? I don't remember most of my dreams. They're probably not worth remembering. I do remember some of the dreams where your unconscious is kind of working out some issues, especially if you're feeling insecure. I have one dream that's recurring where I'm standing up in a pulpit and I'm looking through the scripture and I can't find the verse. And I keep paging and paging and paging and people start walking out. Those are not fun dreams. But this particular dream is about 45 years old, and I remember it as if it were yesterday. And the dream was this. In my dream was one of my relatives, and this was a relative I did not know well except by reputation. This relative had thrown off any kind of shreds of religion. She had decided a long time ago that God was not for her and she was going to live her own life. And she went away from home and lived, as it were, in that foreign land. And in the dream, she's playing the piano and there's a huge party around her and she's joking and laughing and looking great. And I'm in the middle of that party and I said, oh, I didn't know she was so much fun. And in my dream walks a lady from the church that I attended. And she was so out of place in the dream. And she went straight to me and grabbed me by the shoulders and looked me in the eye and said, Dawn, God is going to keep you. And that was the end of the dream. And I was so puzzled. So I went to my dream interpreter, my mother, who had a direct line with God. And I asked her, what do you think that means? And she said, because you're young, you're at a crossroads, and you need to make a decision. And the decision is to go one way or the other. And that lady from church is encouraging you to stay with God. I wasn't impressed. I kind of liked the party. And the other, they were fun, and the woman who was in my dream looked pretty grim-faced. And I thought, oh, I don't know about this. But now in hindsight, those two women have long since died. And the one who lived in the far-off country, who did her own thing, was estranged from most of her family. Not only the family of origin, but the family she had formed. There was a child in her family that she did not know and hadn't had contact in years. She died very bitter and angry. The wonderful thing about that particular story is that the people who were in grace, family members before she died, surrounded her with their love and care and let her know that she was not alone. The other woman did not have an easy life. She lost a daughter. But the other woman lived with such grace and joy and peace her entire life because she was at home with Jesus. Campbell and Porter, I was so impressed that you wanted to be baptized and come into God's family. And we said in our baptismal liturgy that that meant coming into eternal life, but I want you to know something. Eternal life is not after you die. Eternal life is here right now. Everywhere we go, when we take Jesus with us, we are home. I don't know where life is going to take you, but I know this. If you stay close to Jesus, you will be at home wherever you go. And so that's what I hope we take from this today, to be at home wherever we land if we are in Christ. When the prophet gave his appeal to go home, he said this: when you have thorns and briars in your life and life is a mess, said God turns it into fruitful vegetation. And he says, and as you're on the parade of life, even the trees are going to clap their hands as you go by. What a message. What an image to take with you this week. When you're journeying with Jesus, you're always home. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are at home with you, whether we have been here for one day or all our lives, whether our path will stay in this place or take us to far flung to the ends of the earth, whether with our families of origin or not, we know that wherever we are at home with you if your spirit lives in us. And we ask that that would be so for all of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.